Bless you. I know it's already blessed me. What we're going to do is, I guess we can dismiss the history makers and the children, ages 3 to 11. We got an amazing team at the back door. All right, great kids. Yeah, give them a hand. Go team, go team. It's way better than the Razorbacks who didn't make it last night. They still have potential, just like our children have great potential, right? Raising kids is a big deal. Today I want to do something to start. I said that we're going to talk about family night. Family night starts this coming Wednesday, and it starts at 6:30. I got that right? Six? 6 o'clock? Okay, six. Okay. I knew. I'm just here. I don't pay attention to the clock. It starts at 6 o'clock, so everyone's welcome. But what I want to do tonight, each one of you guys that's a team leader that leads one of the groups, right? I want to ask if you guys would come up here. I want to show you off, and I want you to talk, okay? So come on up. Yeah, Miss Dana, here comes you. Come on, guys. Be brave. Come on up. It's so funny. It takes a lot of courage to get up here on stage. And Tyler leads the youth, and Daniel and Amanda lead the children. So y'all can, one of you has to come down last. And you get to, on the Connect groups, you get to move from group to group. We do them on semesters. And so we start a group, and then we have an ending. And so I wanted these guys, who are group leaders, to share with you guys what their group is about, and so you'll know the options that are out there. And it's fine if you want to change groups or go to any group. So this is Harvey Boyd, so go ahead, Harvey.
Amen. Woo! Man, I'm glad I'm first. I'll talk a long time, and they won't have time to talk. I tell you, family night's been a blessing where we come together, we have a meal, we get to fellowship together, and then we break into our groups. Now, our small group is, we like to do Bible study. We're just wrapping up Genesis. We've been studying Genesis. And in our Bible study, what we do, we study a lesson. And then when we meet, everybody talks. We answer questions and discuss the chapters. And it's pretty amazing. This semester, we're starting the book of Exodus. We're going to talk about Moses. What happened when Moses was born and leading the people out of Egypt. So that is a great Bible study. If you're interested, we'd love to have you in our group. I don't want to take you from other groups, but if you want to be in our group, we'll take you.
Yeah.
Now, our group, one thing about our group, we have relationships. When someone has a need, they text everybody or call people, and we pray for each other. We meet. There's one back there. So if you're interested in our group, we'd love to have you. We'll be taking a long few weeks in Exodus. So God bless. Here's Rick.
All right. Thanks, Harvey.
So our group has been a men's group. And we've been going through the book of Proverbs, taking a long time. We're only about halfway through. We're about chapter 15, I think. And so we're not supposed to recruit, but I'm thinking about giving Wes a silver coin. No, that was just an idea I had. But anyway, we have a lot of fun. We talk about things that pertain to life that we see in Proverbs. And my premise that I always start off the group with is, listen, guys, when we open up the scripture, we're looking for Jesus. We're not looking to do things better when we leave here or be sad about what we've done in the past. One of the group members, I love it. I just got to talk about Alex. Alex is not here. He's not feeling well. We're going through Proverbs, and Alex is looking down and said, man, I needed this a long time ago. And I asked him one time, I said, do you want to say anything, Alex? As we go around talking, he said, man, I'm just processing here. He's computer tech, so I'm processing. I love Alex. But we have a lot of fun. We're talking about possibly multiplying and becoming two groups. So Tracy is dabbling with doing that. And it's just a lot of fun. You're welcome to come, and we would enjoy having you.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Rick.
So our group, we were studying 1 John last semester. We still haven't decided for sure what we're going to do this semester. Maybe a different book, like maybe a book outside of the Bible. We're going to decide the first time we meet. So if you want to be in on that decision, come meet with us. Everybody's welcome. Mostly we have people with kids and married people so far. But everybody's welcome. We'd love to have you.
Okay, for my group, we're a ladies' group, and last semester we did Psalms, and then for this semester we're going to go over, we're going to call it the goodness of God, but each week we're going to talk about different ways that God's good, whether it's from his promises, from giftings, to just communicating with us, how he communicates with us. And so one thing that we believe in our group also is that everybody brings a part, and what everybody has is important and valuable. And so this next semester, we're going to have a topic each week, and like one person will lead discussion that week. Next week, someone else will lead, and not that everyone doesn't have something to say, but we're going to help bring that out and let them help facilitate that each week so that we can hear what God's saying to them about that particular topic or whatever, but we just believe everybody is important.
Cool.
Good word. All right, so I help with the youth. My name's Tyler, if y'all don't know me. I've talked up here a couple times today already, but I help with the youth. It was a big transition for us. You know, used to we'd have the whole church by ourselves on Wednesday night, and then the pastors were talking about this idea, and it was such a great opportunity for our church to expand and grow. And so, and at first, you know, a little jitters. I wasn't sure how it ended up going, but man, the amount of impact that y'all have had on our youth, like just having adults who love God and are pursuing a relationship with God around our youth, you can see a difference and you can feel a difference. And it's just bringing this excitement, and you can feel it in our church even, that there's this all, it just feels like so much potential. And so having y'all around our youth, you know, men and women who have walked with God for years and years and years and years and years. I'm just kidding. But just having y'all around them and just letting them soak in what y'all have experienced in the presence of God and just getting to see them encounter that, we're just super excited for this next semester.
So. Amen. Amen. Come on, Tyler. But I'm not going to let Alan talk yet. Anybody have a stopwatch that we can? Right. Hold on. So Alan's one of the members of a group, and we have one more group. Daniel, you're going to talk about. Yeah, come on up. Yeah. Give it to Daniel, yeah, if you don't mind. Sure. Alan does a great ministry here at the church for us every Sunday. I don't know how long Alan's been doing it. We have cookies for visitors, and Alan cooks the cookies. He is under direct supervision, so you don't be worried. It's all good. All right, Daniel. Yeah.
So, Prayground, I just thought I'd tell y'all a few stories about what's happened. And kind of what we've done. And so I was just thinking back the summer semester, you know, we got our feet underneath us and we got going. And just some of the things that have happened is we've had quite a few visitors, and which has been really neat. So, man, I can't even tell you what it's like to see a kiddo for one of the very first times pray. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's so much fun. And, you know, and we've prayed for some really important things. And then we pray for things that are silly. And then we just, like, we're just learning, like, to hear God together. So, you know, that's kind of how we started. So one week we're rocking and rolling. And I can tell you by far the most popular prayers we do is for the parents. Man, yeah. These kiddos pray their hearts out for you guys. Dad had a hard day at work. Mom cried today. Those are the kind of things that we're praying for. And they compete. Who's praying next? And, you know, it's really special. And then the very next prayer, we've prayed for a lot of puppies and cats, and I think at least one chicken. And if you're a monster truck driver, we've got you covered. Like, that is a good career field to be in. So it's really special as we're praying, but also, you know, we kind of sneak in, you know, they're not teachings, but we have a chance just to talk. And, you know, I don't know, about a month ago, we had this thing happen, and it was just so interesting. So it's just really simple. We just like, who's ever had a scary dream? And all the little hands go up. And then we get to talk about that. And we say, guys, does anybody know what you should do when you have a scary dream? And, you know, for 5 minutes, we get to talk about what do you do? What do you do when you wake up and you're scared and it's dark and someone you love got hurt or there was a monster or a fear comes up? Oh, we pray. And then we practice real quick, praying what happens when we have a scary dream. Man, I you guys are, I know you're jealous you don't get to hang out with the kids. But I can tell you, like, everything, like, in my mind, like, everything's worth it. The building, the stuff, the craziness, the, like, for that night, for kids, I mean, just think about that. They're with their little community. They're not holding a tablet. They're not holding a phone. There's not, right? And the entire purpose of the whole night is they get to hear Jesus and get to have a relationship. Like, it's pretty awesome. Little Lee's got nothing on that, I promise you. It is a good investment in what God is doing in their hearts. And the transformation already, right? The little boys and gals that showed up and had never prayed out loud ever, and by the end of the semester, they're praying for their moms and dads and grandparents. Like, they're learning who God is. It's incredible. I just want to thank you guys for making it possible, really. It's awesome.
Amen. So Amanda helps Daniel lead Playground, and we also have nursery for all ages. So we want the whole family to be interactive and involved in this, and so Playground is amazing. And then we're going to have a few people talk. These are actual people that go to the Connect groups. He's a real live. He's not an actor. We're not paying him to do this, okay? So Alan's got to go cook cookies, so he's going to have to go first. So you go.
Just wanted to share real quick what community in our group means. In our community, we've been learning how to help others, reach out, and be a part of the community. Well, one Saturday afternoon, we got a call. Somebody needed to borrow $100. The bank was already closed. It just happened. We had a $100 bill in the house. Told them to come over and get it. Monday morning, went to the mailbox, and it was a check for $100 for a customer appreciation from a company we dealt with years ago that we gave somebody's name to, and they went ahead and gave us $100 for a referral. So you can never outgive God.
Yeah, come on, Alan. That's good. Alan and Wendy are great givers. They really are, and they have been for a long time. And Harvey loves having them in his group. He said they can't go to any other group, so that's out, right, Harvey? Okay, and so also have Steve Spies. He goes to Chris's group.
Yeah, I just want to say Wednesday family nights have been a blessing to our family. It's great to get together and connect with everyone, learn more about Jesus, and talk about what's happening in our lives. Our boys, Parker and Ben, loved getting together in their groups, and we're looking forward to continuing our journey with Grace Fellowship.
Well done, Steve. Listen, good job. Good job, big guy. I didn't know if I was going to get the mic back when I let him have it, but you did great. Great, Steve. We have a couple more, and I've saved the best for last, okay? So, Miss Valerie, are you ready? I'll meet you down here. You don't have to come up there. Yeah.
Okay. Is it on?
Yes, you just have to hold it close.
Okay, mine's a little different to most of what they've been saying this evening, although it's the same subject. I just prayed about this because the Lord has been telling me that I need to get more involved. And I've never spoken in front of people like this before, so I'm very nervous. So I prayed about it and asked God to guide me and what I'm supposed to say and how I feel. And this is actually coming from my heart when I say all of this.
Amen.
But he gave me a vision. And a lot of times in the evening, I lie in the bed and talk to God. And he gives me lots of things to think about and see and stuff like that. And he showed me this vision. And I was outside the church. It was a cold and winter night. And I opened up those doors on a Wednesday night that is called Family Night to be with the community. I walked in, and the first thing I saw was smiles on so many faces that was preparing tables, getting food ready for the people to come through that door, anybody that wants to come through that door, no matter who they are, fathers, mothers, daughters, children, homeless, whoever wants to come in, the faces are on these people that are preparing this family night. And it's so warm and comforting, and we see the faces of Jesus, and that's what I see, is those faces of Jesus.
Amen.
And I have to say, and I also smell Jesus. You might think that's crazy when I say that, but I smell Jesus because the food that is being prepared smells so good. They've been made by the people, by their hands, for the love of the people that are going to come through that door.
Amen.
And then, of course, we go to our groups, and we love our groups. And the one thing that really got to me the first time when we did family in the auditorium here was those children that ran through those doors because they were coming in to pray for people who wanted to have a prayer. You know, we don't even do that. Those little kids would lay hands on you if that's what you wanted. Or if they don't, they won't. But they would pray for you, and they were so excited about it. And I just want to thank leaders of all the groups, because it's a terrific thing. It's something that we look forward to all the time. And I want to say to those teachers that teach these little children, God bless your hearts. It's such a blessing to me to see that, because I did this kind of work. I didn't get to do it in a church, but I did teach little children. I was in early childhood education. And the thing of it is, you get to read books to those little children, and you read stories like Noah and of the ark, and you teach them about the animals that goes into the ark. You teach the story of David and Goliath and his catapult that he threw that stone with to knock that giant down. And then also Moses in the bulrushes, where he was in a basket in the water. These are the stories that you teach them. But you know what? You do more than that. You are raising these children, to be big adults, to be the people that God wants them to be. And this just absolutely blesses my heart, and it puts such a peace in my soul that you are doing this. And thank you so very, very much, because we love this church. My husband and I love this church so much, we like to come here an hour early so we can get, as he said, a double portion of the Spirit-filled singing in this church.
Yeah.
And I have one thing to say.
What?
Pastor Allen, get ready, because God is on the move in this place.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Valerie. Come on. This is true. You are the body of the Anointed One. Well, I don't think Paul was confused when he said that. He said, you are the body of the anointed one. Each of you is unique and vital. If you're a part of the body of the anointed one, that means you're an anointed one. The same anointing that raises Jesus lives inside of us. And when we talk about it, and I really, what these guys have all said, the group leaders and the people that had the courage to get up here and talk a little bit, what they've each said is anointed, it's empowered by God, and they recognize what's happening. So I don't have to advertise. You're right, Valerie. We don't have to advertise Family Night, because Family Night is about the body of Christ. You don't have to advertise Jesus. He needs no introduction, no recognition. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's the life that lives inside of all of us. And when I think about Family Night, it's really you that make it important. It's the person next to you that makes it important. It's the children who make it important. It's the bed babies who make it important. It's the people who serve. And I was so glad you said that, Valerie. Yeah, it's crazy. And sometimes we provide food. I didn't mention that. We have a meal at Family Night, and there's no charge. And sometimes we buy it. Sometimes we cook it. Sometimes you guys cook it and bring it. It varies, but the results are all the same. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus, no matter who makes it or where we get it, it's Jesus. And then we sit down, and just like we did with communion, Chris and Steve and I took communion before church today, and that's the body of Christ. You're partaking of each other. And so why is Family Night important? It's because it's all about Jesus, and it's about the Jesus in you, and the Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father. And it really was. Did anybody here even have any sense of the Holy Spirit as these guys were speaking? Did you have any sense? Yeah, you did. I did too. Did you have any sense of the Holy Spirit during worship? When you pray, do you have any sense of the presence of God when you pray? Right? He said, call on me when you're burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Really? Like, really, it's not pretend. And so Family Night really is about a chance for you guys to all get together, for us to come together as a body. And yeah, it may get real crowded soon. It may get where we can't all be functioning in one room. But the truth is, even if there's only two people, it's still the body of Christ. Still the body of Christ. Like the men's group, they're gonna divide so they're getting too big for just one, and some people need a smaller group. That's okay. There's still gonna be the anointing of God in the groups. It doesn't matter. So to me, that's a huge thing that we're preparing for this, and it's why is Family Night important? It's important because of Jesus. It's important because this is where we're discipled. This is in those groups are where you're held in community, where we're accountable to each other, where, like Tyler said, his youth group, I guess they didn't help you much with your truck, did they? It wasn't the youth. It was you old people that he helped him with his truck. You know, it's community. It's what happens if you have a need. You know, we're a... Well, I don't know if y'all noticed, we're painting the front of the building, we're putting up new gutters, we're doing a little facelift. You know that's for Jesus and the people that are helping. Am I right? If you want to help paint, show up this afternoon, we're going to be painting some more. It's very tedious, and you don't have to be an artist. You just have to be able to roll a paint roller and not get paint on the cement, because then you have to clean it, right? So, but we do it together, and it's a part of the body of Christ, and it's all important. So you are the body of the anointed one, and each of you is unique and vital part of it. And there's something God's doing in this place that I believe is a big deal, and it is, because everything is for the Lord, right? I wanted to look at this verse just for a second, and this is a very... A lot of people know this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 19. For Christ's love compels us, it constrains us. Why do we serve? Why do we give? Why do you love the person next to you? Why do you care about children? Why do you care about teenagers? Why do you give? Why do you serve? Why do you input? It's because of God's love. And it squeezes us in. It brings us into who we really are. Because the truth is, that's who you are. You're a giving person. You're a loving person. You're a servant. You put others above yourself. You're humble. You're meek. Because I know you are, because that's who Jesus is, right? You carry the life of God inside of you. How do you know that, Alan? Because he said, you're the body of Christ. So it's true. And the thing is, you can't avoid it. You can't get away from it. You can do anything you want to. You can't outrun the love of God. You can't. When he loses a sheep, you know what the scriptures say, right? He finds them. And today, if you've been running, it'd be a good day to stop running and give in to the one that's going to win. And it says there, because we're convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. You know that Jesus died for you, right? He didn't just die for us. Those people who might come in that are visitors, the strangers, the newborns, the people that you don't like, the people in the next neighborhood. He died for them all. How many people's all? It's all. It's not two. It's all, right? Who did he die for? All. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. With him, together, empowered by him, led by him, constrained by him, directed by him. Your morals, your values, your work ethic, your maturity, trying to think of a word I can't think of. It all comes from him. It all comes from him. So then Paul says this interesting thing. You know, one of the greatest questions I think ever asked in scriptures was, after Jesus rose from the dead, there were some guys walking on the road, right? They had been there to see Jesus be crowned king of the world, which is what the Jewish people thought was going to happen. Everybody in the world was going to be subject to them, subjected to them. So these two guys had come to Jerusalem to see Jesus inaugurated as king, and instead they see Jesus crucified and buried. And they're going home. They're walking back home on the road. And now the scriptures tell this story. Jesus comes up to them. And that he looked at them like you know, if he looked at us, it's like someone told me today that it feels God. Yeah, whenever the Razorbacks lose, one day after the Razorbacks lost the game, I went to Walmart. He said, you could feel depression in the place. Like, well, you know, that really is true, isn't it? A lot of people are so intimately connected with sports that if they lose, you're just like, oh, God. I thought it was a great game, and I didn't even listen to it, but it was like, what a great game. Double overtime. We were supposed to get wiped off the face of the earth by these guys from Oklahoma State or some university. Never heard of them before. But, you know, we lost in double overtime. It was a great game. Why are you sad? You know, you can tell when somebody's sad. So Jesus walks beside these two men who've just seen their king crucified and lost all their hope. And he's like, why are you guys so upset? And they said, don't you know what's happened? And they told him. And then Jesus went on, and at the end of their conversation, he revealed to them who he was. And then they reported it, and they said, weren't our hearts strangely warmed? You know, when Jesus was living with his disciples before he was crucified, he asked Peter. He said, Peter? Or he asked all the disciples, right, first. He said, Who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, Elijah, John the Baptist, raised from the dead, Moses. men say that. And then Jesus looked at Peter. You know, Peter, who do you say I am? He said, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. She said, Peter, that's right. And you're a rock. And upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. You see, the thing is a big deal. And so then Paul writes this verse in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You see, Paul didn't see who he was. He was persecuting the church, murdering people, sending them to prison, destroying families, because he thought Jesus was something else. He looked at Jesus, who he on the outside was. He didn't have a revelation who Jesus was on the inside. And he told in this verse, Paul says, you know what? From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Have you been looking at yourself from a worldly point of view? Looking at your whatever, how you talk, what your past is, how you look, what you're doing. That's a worldly point of view. Physical evidence, the reality of your mind, or how whatever. Then Paul said this, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Paul doesn't see Jesus that way anymore. And you know what? He doesn't see anybody else that way either. You know, the world's limited to seeing people based on their outward, what they do, who they, where they work, how much money they have, how smart they are, how tall they are, how skinny, all these things that we judge by. But Paul said, I don't judge that way anymore. I don't judge Jesus that way, and I don't judge you that way either. You see, when you see us on the outside, that doesn't tell you anything. Look, I want to show you something. So I've got a, y'all can't see, right? I've got what would you call this? I've got a secret person behind this veil. And they're going to show you something. And then I want you to try and guess who it is, okay? All right. This is just like on TV, behind this door. Okay, so I'm just going to let them show you their hands and see if you can guess who it is. Anybody want to guess? Wait, you can see it. Yeah, if you see them behind the curtains, you don't get to guess. Nobody? Chris Hoffman. No. I know who it is. Jessica Warren. No. Lucy Carillon. No. You know why you can't guess? That's the same thing as the way the world sees people. You know what the world sees? The world sees what's on the outside. Come over here. It's Jacob! It's Jacob. You know what sin is? Sin isn't in you, it's on you. Inside of this dirty work glove.
Here you go.
Thank you. They smell a little bit. You see, that's what Paul said. Paul said, I saw Jesus by this, the outward stuff. He wasn't special. He wasn't a king. He wasn't powerful. He was crucified and died. See, I can prove he's not God because he died. Guess what? That was an outward thing. And Jesus said, guess what? I died. And now don't look at me this way anymore, Paul. Look at me for who I truly am. You know who you are? You are created in his image. You were created a special, unique, vital part of the body of Jesus Christ. And when we see each other on Wednesday night, when we come together on family nights, everyone has value. Everyone has purpose. Everyone should be a superstar in your world. Thank you, Jacob. You can go sit down. Either way, it's everyone, right? So, guys, it's important. You know what? Paul had to repent of how he was serving God. He was serving God based on seeing people by their skin, by their clothes, by their way they talked. And Jesus said, guess what? We don't do that anymore. Here's what he said. I died for all. Is there anybody's sin that Jesus didn't die for? No. Was he enough to cover everyone? Yes. And everything? Yes. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. And that if isn't an if like we would say, well, you can go outside if you're good enough, or you can do this if you have enough money. That if is a statement. It's not a question. It's not a condition. It's because of what Jesus did that you're who you are. It's because of what he did that we can look at people, we can look beyond their facade, the outward manifestation. We can look beyond their sin. We can look beyond whether they smell good or smell bad. You can look beyond all of that because of what he did, not because of what they do. You see, it's because of him. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. It doesn't list you in the Bible. All this is from God. It's not from God and you. You see, I think we I love singing that song today. We be lifted up. You know, it's like I love singing that because yeah, it's all Jesus. Did Jesus pay for all? Did he die for all? Yes. And then the enemy comes back and tries to heap guilt and shame and condemnation on us. And there is none in Christ. You see, all of this is from God. And I looked up, I don't know how many different translations. They all say all. Every translation says this. All of this is from God. Where does your salvation come from? God. Where does your deliverance come from? God. Where does your value and unique, special things come from? God. And the enemy's trying to tell you you're not enough. He's trying to tell you this person's no good and that person's no good and you have to judge them and they should be ashamed of themselves. And the whole time Jesus is saying, what about me? I was enough. My blood was enough. My body was enough. You see, I think the enemy tries to twist us all up. It's all from God. Who reconciled you to God? Jesus. Well, I thought you had to reconcile yourself to God. No, he reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what your ministry is and my ministry is to let people know the truth about who they are. The truth about what Jesus did. To open their eyes, just like those men when they were going to Emmaus. They thought their life was over. And Jesus came and something lit inside of them and they began to believe, oh, I'm not who I was. I'm not this glove I'm wearing that's all worn out and dirty and used. That's not me. Jesus said, no, because of me, that's not you. Who you are is unique and special and valuable. And we have that ministry to see that about God. He's good. Then we have to see it about ourselves. And then we get to believe it about others. And I love to everybody that talks said the same thing. Yeah, I love this, what we say in this little, I asked Dana and Missy if they'd leave it up there another week. Come as you are. How can you ever say that? You want those people in here? Yeah, because who they are is determined by Jesus Christ, not the gloves they're wearing, not their abuse, not their history, not their however it is we judge. Who they are is determined by Jesus Christ and what he did. And God wants to set us all free. He wants us to be free to believe who we are. And in verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now, this sounds like blasphemy, but Paul wrote it, not counting people's sins against them. Are you still holding people's sins against them? Your own sins? Someone else's sins? Are you holding it against them? Jesus isn't. Because his son, he died. Jesus died for their sin, for my sin. So you have to ask yourself, am I still judging? Am I still segregating? Am I still creating division when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has stopped it all? So Wednesday nights is a huge thing because I think it's part of us making a declaration that God's good and Jesus is Lord and what he did was enough for us all. So this morning, I think that there's a little repenting needs to go on with the true sense of what repentance, that word metanoia, means. Repentance is this: I saw things this way, but God gave me revelation. Now I see them this way. I did judge myself. I thought that was a good thing because I'm so bad. But now I see that I shouldn't judge myself because he doesn't judge me. And so I changed my mind about who I am. I changed my mind about who you are too. Yeah. Do I see dirty gloves? Yes, those are dirty gloves. But that didn't define who Jacob is. Your dirty gloves don't define you. What's inside of you through the power of what Jesus did, that's who defines you. Don't get caught up on dirty gloves. Let Jesus be Lord and King. And so we need to repent. I need to believe what he believes about me and what he believes about you. And I need to examine my heart and say, God, if there's anything in me judging, show me. Show me, God, because I want to repent. I want to think about myself the way you think about me. And I want to think about others, all others, the way you think about them. And listen, I'm going to tell you, it's a good way to live. You'll be ecstatically happy when you live that way. Because you'll love yourself and you'll love everybody around you. Because you see them through the eyes of Christ. It's just a huge thing. So Wednesday nights are big. It's a chance where you get to come and love. You get to challenge and see if you really are serious about loving others. And to see if you really are serious about loving yourself. It's a big night and I'm looking forward to it. So let's all stand up. I want to... I wanted to talk about this 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance. Repentance. Seeing things, metanoia, seeing things the same way God sees them. That's what repentance is. And it leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See, I think the enemy uses worldly sorrow because he tells us we're no good. He tells us the gloves are dirty means we're dirty. That's not true. When Jesus shows me I have on dirty gloves, like we were painting, and I don't know if I walked in the foyer with paint on my shoes. Somebody did, because you know how when you have paint on your shoe and you step, it's like a spot. I was like, whoops, that could have been me. I don't know. Well, you know what? If it was me, all I would do, just clean my shoe off. It wasn't me. It was on my shoe. It was just something on my shoe. That's what sin is. Sin isn't who you are. Jesus defines you. But sin does affect us. And it's hard. but Jesus has set us free. So this morning, do you need to repent of judging yourself? Because if it's coming from God, it doesn't bring death. It doesn't bring death. It brings life. Do you need to repent of judging others? Do you need to repent of judging God? That's where love starts. So let's pray, and we'll have some ministry teams up front that would love to pray with you. And let's... Family night is good. It's a great place to get sin exposed. Your attitudes about yourself and others. So let's pray. And we'll have Rick and Jessica up here and Harvey and Tina. They would love to pray with you about physical needs. If you need to repent about something, they'll pray with you about that. Or if you just need to hear from the Lord, they would love to pray with you this morning. So thank everyone that was brave and spoke. Thank you for your sermon, Valerie. It was great. It really was good. All of you did good. Yeah, it was good. So, God, I just thank you for what you're doing, for the life that comes when the body is together. And, Jesus, I thank you that you said that we're your body, that you love your body, every part of us, every unique part. And, God, help us to see the way you see. And we just worship you. We love you, King. Amen. Hope to see you guys Wednesday night, 6 p.m.